Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And if you're a regular listener, you probably know at least chunks of my backstory, and one of the more famous bits of my backstory, because it was in my TED Talk, Why Aren't We Awesomer, was that from the age of 13 to the age of 19, I struggled with what is called suicidal ideation and depression. And what that meant was I kind of felt like crap and thought about killing myself all the time. And it became increasingly problematic, as you would expect, to a point where it culminated in an incident where I didn't kill myself. But in not killing myself, I had an insight into the thought-created nature of the suicide thought, as I came to know it, that it became very clear to me that I had never actually wanted to die. I just was trying to cope with how miserable it felt to be alive for me at that time. And after that, I got better at coping. So I would say for the next, well, in fact, I can say with great accuracy, for the next 21 years, because that pivotal incident happened at the age of 19, so to roughly the age of 40, I got better and better and better at coping with my depressive nature. And I became a high-functioning depressive who was able to be happily married, who was able to have children, who was able to do very well in the world of work, in spite of my depressive nature, my depressive tendency. And then something completely unexpected happened. In the midst of my never-ending search for better and better ways of coping, I heard a talk by this Scottish guy I'd never heard of named Sid Banks, who turned out to be a welder in a Canadian factory who had an Enlightenment experience. And I heard him say, every human being is sitting in the middle of mental health. They just don't know it. And somehow, I knew that was true from the second I heard it. And it changed everything. And from that time forward, and it's one of those stories that, you know, sounds too dramatic, sounds too easy, sounds too good to be true, but what am I going to do about it? It's how it happened. I was happy. I realized that despite having been in a position where I would have passed a lie detector test, that I was broken, that I was depressive for the first 40 years of my life, I suddenly realized I'd never really been depressed. I just thought I was. I just thought about that all the time. I just thought miserable thoughts all the time, so I felt miserable all the time. And it wasn't really all the time, but it was enough of the time that I just dismissed anything else that I was feeling. And it was like, well, yeah, I guess it is possible for depressed people to have happy moments. And I guess it is possible for depressed people to have energy. And I guess it is possible for depressed people. It's like the old joke about the psychiatrist and the zombie, where a man walks into a psychiatrist's office and the psychiatrist goes, what seems to be the problem? And the man goes, well, I'm dead. I'm a zombie. And he goes, really? Well, how is it that you're talking? And he said, well, I mean, you know, zombies can clearly talk because I'm a zombie and I'm talking. And he said, well, okay, I guess then you're going to say, why are you still walking around? And the guy said, God, that one's easy. I mean, not only can I walk around, which proves that I'm a zombie, but I mean, in every zombie movie, you see zombies walking around. So they go back and forth like this. Now, this psychiatrist is a little bit unconventional. And so he gets an idea, and he gets a thumbtack from his desk, and he says to the guy, well, do zombies bleed? And the guy had never thought about it, and he said, well, no, I guess we don't. That would make no sense, because we're dead. And so he stuck the thumbtack in the guy's thumb. And sure enough, a little drop of blood started forming on the thumb, and the patient is looking at it, and he goes, wow, I'll be damned. Zombies do bleed. And it just illustrates that once we've decided how we are able of adapt evidence to support our idea of how it is and who we are. And so for me, I had never really bothered trying to be happy, because the best I kind of figured was on offer was being less miserable. In other words, I never really went after thriving. I just wanted to get better and better and better at coping. And since that time, I have noticed that that pattern is really common. That in many ways, when a client comes to me, when a student comes to me on a program, their unspoken question, the context in which they're asking their other questions, that they're wanting to learn about whatever it is I'm teaching, is how good can I get at coping with my very real and permanent problems? Can you help me cope better with not having enough money? Can you help me cope better with not having enough energy? Can you help me cope better with not being as motivated as my friends would like to be? Can you help me cope better with my crappy relationship? And that is a fundamentally different question than, can you help me learn how to thrive? And so the thing about the questions we ask is they lead to different answers. And so if the question you're asking is, how can I get better at coping with my very real and permanent problems, you're going to get answers about ways of coping. But if you turn that question on your head and the question becomes, how can I thrive in this context? You will find yourself having very different things come to mind, noticing different things in the world around you, and getting inspired about new possibilities. In a way, what I notice most often happens with that shift in question is hope starts to come back into the picture. And hope is a really cool thing that human beings have. Hope is this openness to possibility, this willingness to be wrong about our imagined futures, that many of us get to a point where we're sure are inevitable, and to be open to the possibility that something better than what we've imagined might really be possible. So if you notice in listening to this that there are things in your life that you want to learn about the inside out understanding, you want to learn about the three principles, you want to learn about the stuff that I talk about to help you cope better with, as an experiment, I invite you to just take some time this week and ask yourself a different question. And that question is very simple. How can I thrive? And when you ask that question, I want to give you one little piece of data that's going to prove very helpful in answering it. And it's that human beings are made to thrive. We are designed for success. We are filled up with, made of, the energy and intelligence of life itself. And because we are made to thrive, learning how to thrive is much easier than it sounds. It's not so much learning a new skill as becoming aware of something that's always been there that you just haven't really made use of. It's like discovering new apps on your phone that have always been there, but you never knew. Like maybe you know somebody, maybe you were somebody who when you made the adjustment to an iPhone, it took you a while to realize that you could do more than just make phone calls on it, that you could do all this other stuff on it. Well, the apps that are preloaded into human beings are extraordinary. And when you start looking away from coping and towards thriving, you start opening up a whole new set of apps. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.